This is Shambhala Sun editor of web publications Rod Mead-Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. Just years ago, Noah Levine would have been considered quite unlikely to become one of the better-known Buddhist teachers of our day. By his own account, the son of author and spiritual teacher Stephen Levine was a troubled young man on a self-destructive path. Nowadays, though, he's known for inspiring the Dharma Punks and Against the Stream communities, which provide the backbone for an ever-growing network of meditation practitioners and activists. Noah recently joined me on the phone to talk about that network and how he sees its work as the work of us all. I started simply by asking him what he's got going on at the moment. Noah, as you'll see, has plenty going on.
Well, what I've got going on is a 7-month-old daughter.
Congratulations. What's her name?
Hazel.
Classic.
So, you know, that's the big, wonderful, new personal thing is the family life. Really enjoying that. Running the center here in L.A., we now have 2 centers in Los Angeles.
Well, there's Against the Stream.
Against the Stream is the name of our nonprofit, which is also the name of the center in Hollywood.
Right.
So we also just took over, I've been teaching in Santa Monica at a Zen center, Santa Monica Zen Center. I've been teaching there for about 2.5-3 years now, and then they were going to close, and so we took it over in conjunction with another teacher, Trudy Goodman of the organization Insight LA, who I went through my teacher training with, Jack Kornfield.
Sure.
And we kind of split the schedule 50-50, so now Against the Stream has East Side and West Side Los Angeles Dharma Centers.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Noah, your piece in the current issue of Shambhala Sun is called It Takes a Sangha. And in it, you point out that all social change starts from a small group of like-minded people. And that's part of how you started,
yeah.
And it's true. A remarkable sangha is built up around you. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about how Dharma Punks has grown into such a thriving network of practitioners and activists.
Well, very organically. You know, maybe it was just sort of time and timing and that I just have had the opportunity to be the spokesperson for, you know, some of my generation and some of the alternative-minded Buddhists. And, you know, as I've been out teaching for the last, almost 10 years now, traveling around and teaching, there's just been a really strong community that has kind of come together and keeps growing.
What I've noticed is that people seem to take it upon themselves, it appears this way, to get the word out for you. It seems that there's a very strong internet presence of people who are down with what you're doing, want to spread the word, creating sitting groups. Is that perception true, that people have taken it upon themselves?
I'm certainly not asking people to do that for me. So, yeah, if it's happening, again, that's where I say, like, it just feels very organic, like it happens sort of naturally by itself.
That's wonderful, wonderful.
You know, I mean, the one thing that I do is when I teach and when I meet people in different places around the country, I do empower and encourage people. I say, if there's not a Buddhist group near you that you relate to, I say, you know, go check out the Buddhist groups. If there's a Shambhala center, check it out. If there's a Zen center, check it out. If there's a Vipassana group, check it out. I said, you know, and you might find a home there. You might find a sangha. I said, and if you don't, you know, if you have checked out the groups and you don't find a sangha, start your own. Like Portland, where there's a whole bunch of Dharma groups, the people that were practicing with me there said, but we don't fully relate to any of the Dharma groups. So I said, well, start your own. You know, get together and meditate. Do some book studies. And some of these communities have just become really strong kind of Vipassana support groups.
When people say to you, I'm presuming you're talking mostly about younger people, we don't really relate to these established groups. Is there something about those established groups that they have in common?
Yeah, but I can't really put my finger on anything in particular. And I don't think it's only younger people. I think it's maybe people that have a lot of sensitivity to hierarchy in spiritual communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a sort of Zen master, some people really don't like that, to be like, oh, we are the students and that is the master.
Right.
Or some of the politics that go on in some of the communities. And some of it probably is that a 30-something Generation X punk rocker walks into a center and it's all 50, 60-year-old baby boomers.
Sure.
That maybe they're not feeling mirrored or met by it. The only person in the room tattooed or something like that.
At the same time, though, you have very well established yourself with the teachers of the baby boom generation who seem to understand that you can speak to anyone. What is it that they're seeing in you that allows them to so comfortably take you under their wing?
I don't know, and I have to assume that at least in the beginning it was nepotism, and it was the fact that they're my father's friends. I think that it's important to acknowledge that that opened a lot of doors for me, that I don't know that had I shown up, you know, covered in tattoos from head to toe, you know, just out of prison with the kind of, you know, history that I have, that I would have been so warmly received by the Buddhist establishment if I hadn't been Stephen Levine's son. But, you know, as my dad said to me once, he said, well, yeah, you know, the name will get you maybe invited in for tea. But if you don't have anything interesting to offer, you won't be invited back. But I have been invited back and warmly received by most of the elders in the sort of American Buddhist establishment. And I'm not sure what it is, other than I love the Dharma, and I'm a sincere student of the Dharma, and I do my best to present good teachings, and that people respond to that. People respond to sincerity and to the Buddha's Dharma.
That was meditation teacher and author Noah Levine joining me on the phone to talk about the communities he's helped create and where they, and he, fit into the landscape of modern Buddhism and of society. In coming installments, we'll talk about his new center and what makes it work, how reaching out to people in especially difficult circumstances is always worth it, how Noah deals with the attention that seems to follow him, and his thoughts about the creation of a truly American Buddhism. You'll find Noah's article, It Takes a Sangha, in our March 2009 issue, or read it online by visiting us on the web at ShambhalaSun.com. This is Rod Mead Sperry, and thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.